I tell you, I'm excited about all the things that are happening and taking place. You know, we're looking and getting, and for those of you that don't know, we're doing a whole 2 months of missions, just really bringing it out here so everybody can see what's going on in the world. We've got, beginning this coming Sunday, we'll actually have, I think, almost four or five different missionaries ministering, and then there'll be different ones on Wednesday night, too, from different around the world. So one of the biggest reasons about that is so that we just have an awareness that we are involved in something bigger than ourselves. Amen? But, tonight, though, as I was praying about some things, just really felt like, because I had so many people calling me about needing prayer because the enemy was attacking their bodies, I thought, you know what? I've been just sharing and preaching on healing and trying to help as many people as I could today and do anything. I thought, you know what? Praise God, Lord, we're just going to go ahead and jump right back into where we were doing some things here. And we were talking about that, but we're going to share on three different avenues of that and just build ourselves up. And hopefully those are all there watching. They want to be here, but they're not here. So we're going to believe God. We're going to minister to them and to us. Amen. So we'll take some medicine tonight. The Bible says that his word is medicine to all that find it. It'll be medicine to our flesh. It'll be medicine to our lives. Amen? So we're going to do that. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Let's just honor God. Father, we honor you tonight. We just thank you and praise you for your amazing grace. Lord, thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for everyone that's watching. And Father, especially all those that the enemy has just been attacking their bodies. Lord, we just thank you that Jesus is our healer and we just trust him. And Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace and your mercy. Lord, we honor you. We love you. We just trust you, Lord. We trust you. And Lord, we thank you as we look to your holy written word. Your word is life. It's life unto those that find it. It's health to all their flesh. So Lord, thank you for that. Thank you that we're going to find life and health tonight. We're going to look to your word and you're going to bring your word out and you're going to bring life to us. Lord, thank you once again for each and every one. And Father, my heart's desire is that you be glorified, you be magnified. Let the word of God have free course in our life, which simply means let the word be that healing power, hallelujah, that will penetrate into our hearts and into our minds. And we begin to receive and take hold of and believe and begin to amend from this very hour. Lord, I honor you and I love you and I just trust the Holy Spirit tonight to form fit this, to bring out that which you want to bring out, to bring life because your word is so good, so wonderful. And we just thank you for it now. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 15, which I really like Matthew chapter 15 because I like this particular example of it. And it's so really, really, you know, cool because we see a lady here who's a Gentile woman and who comes to Jesus, comes to her disciples. And we're going to begin reading in verse 21. And I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. And it says this, Jesus left Galilee and he went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And a Gentile woman who lived there, or a Syrophoenician woman, as the King James says, who lived there, came to him pleading. And she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon and that torments her severely." But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. They said, "Tell her to go away," they said. "She is bothering us with all of her begging." Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." But she came and worshiped him, pleading. And again, she said, "Lord, help me." Then Jesus responded. He said, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs, or take the children's bread and give it to dogs." She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps or the crumbs that fall beneath the master's table." And dear woman, Jesus said to her, "Your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. Amen. You know, it's funny because when you go back up here, when it talks about she came to him and she had obviously heard that, you know, what Israelites would always do. They'd say, "Hey, have mercy on us, you know, and O son of David," kind of from a covenant standpoint, which she didn't have a covenant. She didn't have any covenant. She didn't have any right to ask for anything. And that's why Jesus said it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. That would have eliminated almost all of us if we had been called a dog. You know, that would have wiped us all out. That would have messed us all up. And so, you know, when you understand that, because see, you know, what was Jesus endeavoring to do? He said, and he wasn't that he wasn't sent for the whole world. It's just that he was there ministering to the children of Israel. That's who he was sent to, endeavoring to be their Messiah. Of course, we know they rejected him. But endeavoring, I love this woman's faith. You know, there's only two times that Jesus talked about great faith. That's this time, and then also in Matthew chapter 8, which we'll talk about too in just a minute. But you realize, she's like, yes, you're right, Lord, I'm a dog, but you'll just give me a crumb. Aren't you glad you only need a crumb? Aren't you glad that you only need a little bit? You only need the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, which is so small. Simply believing. And then she had Jesus' word. Jesus said, woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. He said, great, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. Her daughter wasn't there, but she knew that her daughter would be made whole, because if Jesus said it, that would be taking place there. You know, when you look at this, you know, she was asking for deliverance. She was asking for healing, you know, and Jesus said a very unique phrase. He said, he called it, he said, it's the children's bread, or it belongs to the children of God. Aren't you glad that healing belongs to you and I? Now go with me, if you would, you're in Matthew 15, go over to Matthew chapter 8. This is one of my, you know, I have a lot of favorite chapters. And the reason I have a lot of favorite chapters is because Jesus and the Apostle Paul and everybody said, you know, a lot of great things. Amen? But in Matthew chapter 8, you know, in verse 1 it says, large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. He says, Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and he touched him and he said, I am willing. He said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go and show yourself to the priest. Let him examine you. Take along all the offering required in the law of Moses. For those who have been healed of leprosy, this will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. I love this particular little story because, and it's not a story, it's actually something that actually happened, is that Jesus settled the will of God here. Amen? Because, you know, when I was growing up, it was basically, if, Lord, if it's your will, if it's this. And it was always, if it's his will, if his will. And nobody really knew if it was God's will or not. And then when I found out that his word is his will, that changed everything. Because if we ask according to the word of God, it changes everything. And so the leper said, listen, if you're willing, you can do it. Jesus said, of course I'm willing. Of course I'm willing. Now let's look at verse 5. When he said, and when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him. He said, Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Man, what an awesome thing. But the officer said something supernatural. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. You just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go, and they go, come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were with him, following his disciples, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Basically, he said, you guys take notice. You guys don't have any faith here. He said, look at this guy. This is amazing about what's going on. And of course, he goes on to say some things here about what's going to transpire, what's going to take place, coming and going and all this. Then in verse 13, he said, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. You know, getting with both of these, understanding both of these examples, one of the greatest things about it, many times we try to come to God on our own merit. And we try to tell God, God, I'll do this if you'll do this. God, I'm doing this so you'll do this. Amen? Neither one of these came to God and telling them, I'm going to do this. They came to God with humility. They came to God with a persistent. But they came to God knowing that, hey, if you say it, if you will give the word, my child will be healed. If you say the word, my servant will be healed. Isn't that amazing? They say, yeah, yes, I'm a dog, but all you got to do is say the word. If you'll say she's healed, I know she'll be healed. Isn't that amazing? Yet we've got God's word on the subject. God says that by his stripes we're healed. God says that Jesus bore our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. And if God healed anybody in the word of God, then God will heal us. Amen? Take it on. Because God's no respecter of persons. Do you know one of the greatest verses in the Bible is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, which says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's the same today as he was, as if he was walking in the earth with us. And his word, because he said his word, he sent his word in Psalms 107, it says in verse 20, he sent his word to heal us and to deliver us out of all of our troubles. He gave the word. You know, the centurion said, all you got to do is speak the word. He said, listen, no. I'm not worthy for you to come into my. He said, all you got to do is speak the word. All you have to say how to is do this, because I'm a man in authority. I tell this one to go, he goes. This one to come, he comes. This one do this, he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he was amazed. He marveled. He said, you know what? I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. I haven't seen such great faith. Because he said, all you got to do is speak the word. And aren't you glad that that's what we have to do, is speak the word over our lives? Here we got a lady that doesn't have a covenant. We've got a covenant that it's established upon better promise. Why? Because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. You know, I love this, and I love the whole reason behind this, because God put everything in the Bible based on one simple truth, and that is a big word that people don't like. It's called faith. It's called trust. It's called belief. It's called believing. Now you say, well, those are three words. Yes, but really they all tie together. It's like, when I have faith in God, I have a belief and a trust of what his word says that changes my life. Amen? And when I see these examples like this, when I see people coming who don't have a covenant, amen? They don't have a covenant. Israel had a covenant. They had a covenant. They had a healing covenant in the Old Testament. Remember, Jesus got in big trouble in Nazareth when he said, how come Elijah... You know, how come none of the other people that were of leprosy, how come Naaman was the only one healed of leprosy in the old covenant? How come none of the people that had leprosy, how come they didn't go to Elijah? And of course, they got them all mad. They got them all upset and saying, hey, you're saying this. He said, other people are grabbing. Same thing as here. You got a Roman soldier, you got a Syrophoenician woman or a Gentile woman coming and receiving, hallelujah. She's a heathen. She has no right to do this. And yet she's just coming and saying, have mercy on me. She's coming humbly, but she's also not taking no for an answer. Amen? Isn't it amazing that every time in the Bible, it's always the women that are not taking no for an answer? Just saying, okay? Just saying. You got Naaman who's like, I thought he was going to come out here and wave his hand, you know, and his servants had to talk him into doing what God told him. Hey, listen, if he'd have told you to do some really hard thing, remember Naaman, Elisha comes out and he says, just go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. And, you know, he's like, what do you mean? That's a dirty river. Why can't I? All the other rivers are cleaner. Why do I have to dip in that dirty river? And he's like all mad. He's all upset. He's like, hey, if he'd have told you to do some hard thing, you would have said, do it. You thought he was going to come out here and do that. Many times we want to say, God, you can heal me, but you got to heal me this way. Everybody wants to go through the pretty doors of the mall. Sometimes you got to go through the ugly receiving doors in the back where all the trash is, okay? You know, and the reason I say this is sometimes we have a tendency, you know, to come to God and demand, or come to God and tell him how we're supposed to receive, or how he's supposed to do things, how he's supposed to meet the need. Amen? And one of the biggest reasons we come to God, because we don't come to God and give him our all. You know, it's like back in if you read and you read history, those guys were tough, man. They made it tough to come to church. They made it tough to get saved. They made it tough to get healed. Because they said, well, why do you want to be saved? Why do you want to be healed? Why do you want to be able? You know, they made it really hard. You have to go to the inquiry room. and you got to go to the hunger. Seriously, I mean, it was tough. We had to make it and say, hey, we got to find out if you're worthy to be in this group. And because people say, well, you make it too easy. No, Jesus made it easy. Jesus made it so easy to come to him, just believing in the heart and confessing and being born again. He also made it easy to get healed and whole. It's just throwing ourselves on the mercy and the grace and the love of God. Here we go. But you got to give God your all. He just doesn't want to heal you. He wants you. You know? It's like, why do you want to be healed? I want to be healed so I can go do this or I can go do that. Well, that's not the right purpose to be healed. If you want to be healed so you can glorify God, then you have a right purpose. You know? Hallelujah. He wants you. You know? And what we have a tendency to do, and especially in the sense of when you find out about faith and we teach about steps and you teach it, people have gotten mechanical. Well, if I do this, 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 this has to happen. And, you know, it's amazing to me that we want to tell God what and how, because we do it, we've done all the right things, we did all the right steps, so then you have to do this, instead of coming to God and allowing him to mold us and allowing God to do all the things he wants to do. How many of you know God's not withholding? But God's not also, he's not a taskmaster, he's not making you, he's not wanting you to have to do things. He's wanting you to receive what he's already done for you, because Jesus already, but he's also wanting you to come the way he told you to come. Yes. Amen? Faith's not mechanical. Faith of the heart. Faith is a relationship. Trust is a relationship. Believing, it's an unquestionable belief in what God has done in your life, and you're just trusting God for his mercy. Lord, I know you want to. I know you will, because your word says you will. So I'm throwing myself over into you. I'm throwing myself. I'm humbly here, but I'm going to stay strong. I'm going to keep believing until, you know? It's kind of like this. You know, it used to be when I was growing up, when Burger King first started, they used to always, their big slogan was, have it your way. You know, there is no have it your way in the body of Christ. Because if God places you in the body of Christ, he places you where he wants you to be. You came to him. You got drawn to him. It's not have it your way. It's have it his way. And that's what everybody fights. They would say, well, you know, he's going to make you. I don't want to do this. I want to be in control. I don't understand why you want to be in control, because your life's a mess. Be you being in control. And if you let God be in control and you guys will work together, God can turn around and make something really wonderful. Amen. And I like the King James Version when it talks about that this is the children's bread, because bread is a staple. Bread is something they always had. They always had that there. And when it says this is the children's bread, hallelujah, it means it's something that everybody ought to have. Everybody ought to have a piece of bread. Everybody ought to have it. And everybody ought to receive that from it. Everybody ought to have it. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and here's the thing. You don't want to try to like be like Naaman and say, well, I thought he would do this. No, you just, the word of God says to do it. Let's receive the way the word of God says to receive. Let's allow God to be God in our lives. Hallelujah. And do what the word of God says. Then we can be able to receive all that God has. We can step up to the table. Amen. I like what I had an old Pentecostal preacher who was one of our instructors when I was in Bible college. And he actually wrote a book called, you know, Pass the Biscuits. And he was talking about healing, but he's a Southern boy. He liked biscuits. So he said, y'all need to just pull up to the table and say, pass the biscuits. And I never forgot that. He said, that's the problem with it. Y'all just know, you want to get up to the table, but you want to see if they got buns here. He said, you need to pass the biscuits, whatever it is. Let's get the bread. Let's get the healing. Let's pass what God's doing here. Let's do what he needs to do. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know? And here's the thing too. When she came to Jesus, she was coming on what she had heard other people say, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. Now the blind Bartimaeus, when he was on the wayside, he could say, thou son of David, have mercy, because he was a Jew. There was a covenant that was there. Amen. There was a covenant that was taking place that he actually had a right to say that and do that. He said, you know, and of course they're telling him to be quiet, and finally said, no, he's calling you, so be happy. He threw off his, you know, beggar's cloak and his beggar's coat, and He knew he was going to get healed and all. But when she came, when this Syrophoenician woman or this Gentile woman comes, she's trying to get it the way she thinks everybody else has gotten it. Well, I'm going to believe this way. So I'm going to say, have mercy on me, son of David, have mercy. And Jesus didn't even answer her a word because she didn't have a right to say that. She had to change her position. She had to change her attitude because she didn't have a right to have that attitude. In fact, all of us, most of the time, we got to change our attitude when we're coming to God and coming to God just saying, Lord, I just trust you. Because even when you come to God in faith, you're coming humbly believing that what God said in his word is true and that God's going to honor his word for you because you love him. Amen? So she had some things she had to do. She had to change, you know? First of all, she said, yeah, you know, and then when he said, hey, I can't, it's not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs, she said, yep, you're right, I'm a dog, but even the dogs get the crumb. All I need is a crumb. And that's when he said, oh, woman, great is your faith, be it unto you, your daughter's made whole. And she was healed from that very time. She changed it, hallelujah. She changed everything, and she got herself into a position to receive, amen? Because she said, I can't change who I am, I can't. But I can just declare, I'm just allowing, I want mercy and I want grace. Aren't you glad for mercy and grace? Yes. And I thank God. That's one of the reasons that when we look at these examples in the Word of God, then we realize it puts us in a perspective of, man, how great is our God? How great is Jesus? The Bible says in Psalms 23, the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the good shepherd? Yes. Amen. He's the good shepherd. And he wants his flocks to be well and whole. He's a good shepherd. He's taking care of us. He wants to touch us. He wants the condition of us to be good. He doesn't want us sicker and poor and to have a bad reflection. He wants us to be healthy and whole. How does God want that? Amen? God's desire is for that. He hungers for those things. And then we get over to the Roman soldier who's, man, he's got everything. I mean, he's got servants. Amen? I mean, he's telling this one, go to, he's like this, but he knows he can't do anything for his servant. And you know, Jesus is a man of authority. I love that. You know, if you get a revelation of authority, you get a revelation of healing. Because you get a revelation of your authority, of what God's given to you. It's amazing about the body of Christ. We have a tendency, we either get thinking more highly of ourselves or we think less of ourselves. Either we're over on this spectrum over here, like we're a worm and we can't get anything, and oh, I wish God, somebody throw me a crumb or somebody help me. Or we get over here going, well, I'm a man of faith and power. Bless God. God loves me. I mean, hey, I believe the word of God. God's got grace. God will do what I ask. You know, instead of being in the middle of the road here going, glory to God, thank you for the authority in which you've given me. I can take authority over the enemy. And Lord, I can come and honor you and love you and receive what you have for my life. Amen. Why? Because I'm going to humble myself, but I'm also going to be persistent. Amen. Instead of getting mad at God, let's work with him. You know. Because I love what she says, even though when she says it, she doesn't have a right to say, have mercy on me. But man, aren't you glad for mercy? I mean, mercy is not getting what you deserve. I mean, I deserve not to be, you know, all the things here. But because I can ask for mercy, glory to God, God has mercy on us. And the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Amen. His loving kindness is new every morning. He's the good shepherd. Hallelujah. He's a loving heavenly father. Thank God for his love, his grace. Amen. And thank God part of mercy is this wonderful word called forgiveness. Amen. We have a tendency not to forgive ourselves. We have a tendency not to rely on the love and the compassion of God. Amen. In fact, go to Psalms 145 with me. Go back to Psalms 145. Let's look at some really cool scriptures here. And of course, it was, you know, written for Jewish believers to sing these things and recite them and all those things. But man, when you look at verse 8 and 9 and you see the mercy and the compassion of God, it changes everything. Amen. You know, that's the thing about it. And it's not so much that we're trying to say that we're not ever going to have symptoms or there's not ever going to be aches and pains or there's never. Listen, as I get older, and I'm not old at all, I'm getting older. But I am not old. I'll be 90-something years old, and I'm not going to say I'm old, okay? But I am going to say I'm older, okay? So I'm older than I was, okay? And so there are there are things that you get up and you do or you see, and your body just doesn't function like it used to function. Now, I don't beat myself up and say, oh, you know, what's going on? I'm not healed or I'm not this or I'm not that. I just say, glory to God, Lord, I want to have good working order here this morning. I want to get up, be able to move and do the things I need to do. And I don't know why this hurts or why this hurts or why this thing over here or what's going here. But praise God, I'm going to keep moving forward. I want to be, you know, doing what I'm doing. No, I'm not near as strong as I used to be. Not near as agile, not near as quick. Hallelujah. But I'm a whole lot smarter than I used to be. Hallelujah. So I don't have to bullet through. I can make things that work. I can get assistance with dollies and leverage and, you know, different. I can think a whole lot better. So I still do a lot of things, but I just watch out I don't hurt me. I'm wiser. Absolutely. Absolutely with that. But you know, one of the most wonderful thing is that my spirit on the inside gets renewed day by day. I'm just as young as I've always been and growing and going, thank God, but it just keeps getting renewed. It gets stronger, stronger. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's the joy of it. I just keep saying, Lord, thank you. But one of the big things too is that I trust his wisdom, but also I thank God for his compassion and his great mercy. Amen. Here in verse 8 and 9 in Psalms 145, he says, the Lord is merciful and compassion, or full of compassion. He's slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone, and he showers compassion on all of his creations. Amen. I'm so glad that God's gracious. I'm so glad that God's compassion. Because believe it or not, healing is a mercy. Healing is a mercy. Forgiveness is a mercy. You know, I mean, deliverance is a mercy. You realize all of these things here. God's desire is to do this. He wants to have mercy. God knows that we mess up. God knows that we are just flesh. Okay? God knows and understands that we don't always do everything right. But God still loves us. God's still giving us promises. God's still giving us his word. And if we'll believe it and we'll take hold of it, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, we're there in Psalms 105. Go to Psalms 103. I wanted to give you a lot of scripture because the only thing I know to do is give you medicine and get things in you. And those of you watching, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to give you medicine. You just take the medicine. Psalms 103 is precious because this is your benefit package. You know, usually when you go to get a job, you want to find out what your benefits package is. What is your health care going to be? Well, here's your health care package, okay? Hallelujah. From God, he said this in verse 1. He said, let all that I am praise the Lord. This is what they're talking here. He said, with my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. And the King James says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of mine iniquities, who heals all of my diseases. Amen. Hallelujah. Who crowns my life with loving kindness and tender mercy. That's the King James. The New Living says, let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases. I love it. He redeems me from death and he crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, look at verse 12 and 13. I like to add this to it. It's always really good all the way through that. But he says, he removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. See, there's a big difference between compassion and sympathy. A lot of people want to have sympathy in their healing. They don't want compassion. Compassion says, hey, I want to see you better. I want to see you well and whole. I want to help you. Sympathy says, oh, I know how you feel. Oh, let's wallow in it. Let's just stay in our doubts, stay in our fears, stay in our sickness. You know? Amen? Hallelujah. I remember I had a lady, and I know none of you would be like this, but I had a lady back in Pittsburgh where I was pastoring, many, many years ago. Around 40 years ago. And she had hurt herself, her knee and everything. And so, she came forward for prayer, but it wasn't for her knee. It was for something else that was going on. And the Lord touched her and healed her. I said, well, let's take care of the knee. She said, oh, no. I don't want my knee healed. I'm getting disability on that. Yeah. I'm getting paid for that. I can live with that. I didn't really know what to say at that time. I was a young guy, 40 years ago. I said, when you're ready to get off disability and do things, you come and God will heal your knee, And I thought, wow, okay, And she got healed of the other, but she walked away. And I've had other people say, I said, well, why don't we deal with all of it? Said, no, I can handle this. I just need to get this part done. I'm like, and you know what? God's merciful. Do you know God met them where they were at? And I thought, Lord, what the heck's going on here? Why? I mean, she's not right. Why would you heal her of this and her talking about how she's getting disability for here, getting money here? What the heck? You should have left her sick. But he didn't do those things. He's like, wasn't up to you. It's up to her. She was believing in your prayers for her to be well, and she was. Amen? Because of why? Because of God's mercy, his compassion, his loving kindness, his forgiveness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God. Hallelujah. For the mercy of God. See, because if we did everything right, we wouldn't need mercy. We'd get by on justice. Amen? Aren't you glad that God's not, he's not looking at us by what we do and what we don't do. Now, he rewards us by what we do and we don't do and the good works and what he wants us to do. But as far as his what he gives us, what is ours, it's based on his mercy. It's based on what Jesus did. Amen? It's all based on what Jesus did, I mean, Jesus took our sins so we could take his righteousness. Jesus took our sickness so we could take his health. Jesus took our defeat so we could take his victory. Yes. Jesus took all these things for us. I mean, he did that. Hallelujah. So we thank God for mercy. Because mercy is the wonderful gift. And if you understand mercy, your faith will work a whole lot better. Because you're not basing it upon what you know. Thank God we need to know. We need to know how to exercise our faith. We need to know Mark 11, 23 and 24. We need to speak to our mountains. We need to believe in our heart. And we need to say things. We need to know that, what things ever we desire when we pray, believe that we receive them and we shall have them. Amen. We need to do those things. But we need to also understand that it's not a matter of, did I do it right? Did I do it enough? Have I confessed it enough? Have I said it enough? No, it's his mercy. It's his grace, and you declare it, and that helps your confession. It helps your faith. Why? Because it's all God. God's doing it because he's already done it. And I'm believing. You know what? I'm not trying to convince God to do anything. I'm not trying to get enough out there I've got enough for him to work with. No, I'm just endeavoring to rely on that. What I am endeavoring to do when I speak the word of God and when I have confessions of faith, I'm convincing me so I can get in faith. So I can have and speak a word that I know this is what God said. This is what God's doing. I got this. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just bolstering my faith to believe, God, you said you'd do this. You said you would do this. Amen. This is what you said. And we're honoring him. Now, thank God he gave us a lot of tools to operate. He gave us the name of Jesus. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. I mean, what an amazing scripture. John chapter 14 there, verses 13, 14, when it talks about, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you ask the Father anything in my name, he'll do it. Amen? That's an authority. He said, I'll do these things. I'm going to do that. I'm going to give you my name. You're like, wow. Isn't that amazing what God said? It's that wonderful name that's above every name. But we have a tendency to think, in our own self, instead of just taking God's mercy, his grace, hallelujah, and realizing that faith is based upon the Word of God, and faith isn't based on saying the right phrase. You know, if you've been around Christianity for any length of time, or if you've been around faith things for any length of time, if you were best, especially if you were around it way back when it first started, man, you had the confession police. I mean, they were watching every word you said, going to correct every word you say, make sure you say it right. You know, if you didn't say it right, you're not, that's it. You're just not going to get it. They can do all these things. And oh my gosh, you know, everybody was like, oh, you need to do this, this. If you just do this, if you'll just do that. And I thought, gosh, Lord, I thought I grew up with a bunch of do's and don'ts. We got more do's and don'ts now than ever. Everybody's got to do it like this, you got to do it like, and we're all trying to figure out the formulas. I found out God's not a formula. Amen? Because I came to God, you know, through just having faith in God. I came to God loving Him. I came to God as a child, but I came to God believing in what His Word says. And my relationship with Him was built on my trust and love for Him. Not how much faith I had, but although I had tons of faith, but nobody really told me what it was all about. I was just like, glory to God, I'm going to do this. Because I knew that if I trusted God, He would be the one that would hear me. Hallelujah. He would be the one that would answer, and He would be the one that would do it. And I just trusted Him to do it. Amen. Thank God for that name and that authority, and thank God for all of the things there. But I never tried to use that authority against Him. You know, we have all authority over the enemy, right? All authority over sickness and disease. We have all authority over what's going on in the earth. But I mean, you know, we don't have any authority in the sense of God. God's God. We're submitted, just like the centurion said, hey, I got superiors over me. They tell me what to do. I tell these guys what to do. The centurion knew that Jesus was under authority of the Lord God, and he also knew that Jesus had authority in the earth to cure and to heal. He said, Jesus, all you got to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. Speak the word. Well, all he had to do was speak the word. Yeah, I said, but that was Jesus speaking. Well, we've got Jesus speaking the word right here. This is, means that we can do it. And that's the thing about it. If you grab a hold of the Bible and say, this is Jesus speaking to me, it'll change everything. Hallelujah. Thank God for His Spirit. Thank God for what He's doing. Hallelujah. That He has done all manner of diseases, all manner of sicknesses. Glory to God that He's done this. Hallelujah. Thank God that God's will does not change, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Which means He'll do it. God will do it again. He'll do it again. He'll do it. You know, we have a tendency to look at things and then get, you know, frustrated with it, you know, and people have allowed things to cause difficulty in their lives. Amen. They've allowed symptoms. They've allowed things that have happened to other people. Hallelujah. And it's caused them to doubt. It's caused them to get, you know, frustrated. And yet we always got to come back to what the Word of God says. Amen. We may not understand all things. I'm so glad that I don't have to understand everything. Amen? Some says, well, how come this person passed away? Or how come this person didn't get healed? Or how come that? I don't know. But that's okay, because the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord. But the things that are revealed to me belong to me and my children forever. It's Deuteronomy 29:29. I love that verse. Because when I don't know, there is a God, I'm not it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know all things. Whatever He wants to reveal to me, whatever He wants to do, praise God. But when I look at Jesus, I look at the ministry of Jesus, I don't see any place where Jesus made anybody sick. Amen. Now we know Paul said he left one of his guys sick because he was sick there. He left there, but Paul didn't make him sick. He was sick because he overworked himself because of the ministry. But when you look at the ministry of Jesus, hallelujah. He healed everybody. Everybody that came to Jesus got healed. Not everybody that Jesus met did He heal them. Amen. But everybody that came to Jesus got well. See, so if we come to Jesus, if we come to the Word, because John said, in fact, go to John chapter 1. Well, I'm just having fun. We're just, hallelujah, just stirring up, because I want to just stir up your pure hearts, your pure mind. Because we have to take authority. There's an enemy arrayed against us. And then we know that there's sickness and disease. They want to put fear. They close down the whole world with the fear of dying. with the fear of sickness. And so they continually want to do that. Oh, there's a new strain of this. Oh, there's a new strain. Oh my gosh, there's this person here that just got this kind of thing, you know, or this kind of stuff. I mean, there's always these new strains, this new thing, this thing. The enemy's always throwing out to see who he can affect. And that's when you've got to say, no, praise God. Thank God for the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. But look what it says here. It says in the beginning, verse 1, John 1, 1, says in the beginning, the Word that already existed, the Word was with God and the Word was God. Amen? Yes. He says he existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created and his life brought light to everyone. The light shined in darkness and the darkness could not extinguish it or could not comprehend it. Amen. Jump down to verse 14. It says this. Actually, let's go back to verse 12. Verse 12 says, but to all who believe in him, believe in Jesus and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So now verse 14. So the Word became human. It became Jesus and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. We have seen his glory, the glory of the Father is one and the only, or the Father's one and only Son. Amen. Hallelujah. We know that verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. So the Word says that the Word was made flesh and it dwelt among us. Jesus was made that. So if we know that the Word was in the beginning, this is the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word and Jesus are one. Amen. He's not different. He's not departing from this. This is what these men were. They wrote the Bible as they were anointed by the Holy Ghost. It all coincides together. It all brings an agreement together. It's an amazing thing. But there's life in this Word. You can believe this Word and it changes everything. See, that's the difference. People want to say, well, I don't know about this. Everybody's always trying to discredit the Bible or discredit this and discredit that. It's funny. But if you believe what the Word of God says, it'll change your life. You know, and your life will actually be blessed by it. And people will say, well, I don't understand why God healed them and didn't heal me. You ever had somebody tell you that? Why God healed that person and not heal me? I said, well, you know, I don't know, except that, you know, you got to come knowing that God will. God has and he wants to. You know, God's no respecter of person, but he is a respecter of faith and believing. You got to come humbly believing that what God said is true. Amen. I always tell people, you got to come and you got to be quick to forgive. You got to be quick to believe and you got to be quick to receive. And you got to receive it based on who God is and Jesus is, not based on your own merit, not based on who you think you are or you're thinking, hey, I should do this, you know. Amen? That's what happens to us. We get to thinking, well, I can't believe I got sniffles. I can't believe I have to blow my nose. you know, it's funny. You know, we look at this, but, you know, that's what I say. It used to be so comical. We used to do a lot of things. You know, of course, we were kind of ornery way back in the day, but because it used to be, you know, because you'd see people were always doing things. They were always, like I said, the confession place and this, that, and another, and they were always rebuking the devil because everything was of the devil, you know, and Satan, get off my arm. Satan, get out of here. Satan, do this. You know, that's all they kept, you know, it's like, dude, you know, if Satan's hanging around you so much, you need to get saved. You need to get delivered. You need to get born again. You get the life of God so he don't want to hang around you. Because if you're always having problems and you're always having to rebuke the devil, oh, I had to rebuke the devil here and I take authority over this and I had to do it. I said, you need to get in love with Jesus. You need to get the Word of God and you need to begin to get, enjoy the things of God. I tell you what, you get in his presence, Satan won't be messing with you very much. Amen? He won't be. Yes, there's an enemy ready again. Yes, there's a time to take authority over the devil. There is that. But here's the thing. Not every ache and pain and any kind of sickness is of the devil. Sometimes it's just our stupidity or things that have come in, or it's just something that's taken and we've got to fight against it. Amen? Amen. We've got to stand our ground into it. Yes, sickness and disease is of the enemy. Don't get me wrong. Praise God. Hallelujah. But, you know, I mean, we give the devil a little more credit than he should. Amen. We just need to take care of ourselves. There's things that we need to do. I know you get natural things, but you do have to do that. You know, I remember talking, and this is probably one of the best advices I ever got, because it was from, an old person, but an older person. Okay. She was. She said, listen, and she told me, she said, when you get my age, and she was well in age, she said, the one thing you want to be able to do is you want to be able to move. You want to be able to stretch. So you need to always be stretching, always be, so that you can pick things up. I said, that's the will of God right there. Because, see, I'm tall. So to bend down and get things, I got, you know, it takes a lot more effort to do things. So, I mean, it just does. You know, to do stuff. So I want to stretch. I want to be able to be limber so that when I get a little older, you know, in my 80s, 90s, I want to be able to function. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to be thanking God for good working order in this. But thank God for his word. The one thing about tonight is grab a hold of his mercy and his compassion and his grace, because God's not withholding. And you don't have to work at it. Don't beat yourself up because the enemy is attacking you. You're not somebody trying to get healed. You're the healed trying to resist the sickness and disease. Always remember that Jesus Christ bore your infirmity. Jesus Christ is the healer, and he created you whole and well for you to have long life. You just know that there's the enemy's trying to put something on. He's trying to stay, and he can't stay. Amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because we have a covenant. Why? Because we have the promise from what Jesus said to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your grace and mercy. Lord, I just share from my heart and I just pray, and I've prayed for those. I thank you, Father, you're working miracles in their lives. The healing power of God is working in their bodies. It's affecting the healing and the cure supernaturally. The word of God is working and driving out all sickness, all disease, all the lies of the enemy. Lord, we thank you for that. We magnify your name. We just thank you for your word. You sent your word, Father, and we proclaim, we take hold of it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.